Anyone have a dream last night that they remember? Anybody remember their dreams as a matter of course? No. The strange visions that pass through our minds, which sometimes combine absurd details, like the vision of your mother as a llama yelling at you, or drowning in a sea of basketballs, as poet Billy Collins once described these nighttime visions. Sometimes our evening dream, our dreams in the night are not all that absurd. They can communicate they pristinate our daily experiences of anxiety or joy. Every year, a few weeks before Easter, I have this recurring dream that I'm walking into the Palm Sunday service, but I've accidentally planned Christmas, and I can't find my sermon notes. The prophet Daniel, whom we hear from in today's first reading, could remember his dreams. In the Bible, dreams are God-given windows into the heart of reality, full of meaning that is unavailable to the waking mind, and really, in a way, to our human minds, apart from the Spirit of God. In this dream that Larry read for us just a few minutes ago, this dream is less a dream and more of a nightmare. Daniel is asleep and he sees four beasts in the four corners of the sea. Now, in a section that our lectionary, our list of readings, did not give us, Daniel also gives us the details of the dream. And I suspect that the lectionary didn't put these in there for the reading because the details are so frightfully weird that it would be a bit heavy to lay it all on you the first thing in the worship service. But here are what the beasts are like. The first beast is like a lion with wings of an eagle, though it can stand like a human being. The second beast is a man-eating bear with three tusks. The third is a four-headed leopard, also with four pairs of wings. And then there's the fourth beast, the most terrifying of all, which has 10 horns, and in Daniel's dream grows an 11th little horn that has eyes and can talk. After that, he sees a vision of the Ancient One, God in heaven, and the beasts are taken away. Daniel is so disturbed by this that he decides to get a little bit of help. Wise choice. What does it mean? He asks an attendant with some ability to interpret the meaning. And Daniel receives its meaning. The four beasts are four kings that arise out of the earth. But the meaning of the vision of the Ancient One in heaven? Well, that's the sign that the holy ones of the Most High shall receive God's kingdom forever and ever. And I think it went on and ever and ever. Daniel wrote down this dream, and it became scripture as people passed it on, because there seems to be within this terrifying nightmare and then vision a message we need to experience anew in every age. The kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God are in conflict. The rulers of this world seem to mess with the goodness of creation in endlessly disturbing ways, hence lions that have wings. And sometimes their power seems overwhelming, and we are tempted to be absorbed by its hopelessness. Maybe another reason why the framers of our lectionary didn't give us all the details of the beasts is because they were afraid that we'd be so absorbed by the grotesqueness that we'd miss the large meaning of the vision, as if we would forget that we need to remember that the kingdom belongs to the holy ones of the Most High. We would instead get so absorbed in the details and say to ourselves, I wonder which candidate on the ballot on Tuesday is the lion with the eagle's wings, and which one is the man-eating bear with the three tusks? And is Vladimir Putin the 11th horn, or is that someone on our side of the ocean? But this kind of speculation is not for us. Because the message is, however terrifying the beasts are, and whatever fear they cause, and right now we do have an election cycle based on fear, there is grounds for hope. By God's promise, another reality is in view. A kingdom which has come into the world through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A kingdom that blesses and does not pervert creation. A kingdom that brings life rather than death and truth rather than lies. Rather than sucking you into fear and anger, this kingdom rules by hope and love. It blesses, as Jesus declares, the poor, the weeping, the hungry, and all who are persecuted for his sake. In this world, God's kingdom seems weak and fragile and vulnerable, not great like the beasts. Its sign is the cross of Jesus, which tells you of suffering. But make no mistake, life in this kingdom does not have to be a far-off dream for the end of time. For there are real people, girls and boys, men and women, who despite the powers of this world, live from the point of view of the end. And that's what brings us to All Saints Sunday, the day in which we remember all those people dead and living who have lived in the name of Jesus. In our Lutheran tradition, we say that saints are not special, perfect people. It's not saints as opposed to sinners. Rather, saints are forgiven sinners, baptized children of God. These are the holy ones who inherit the kingdom. But although it's not your perfection that gets you to sainthood in our tradition, in light of Daniel's night vision, I think it's worth remembering that among the saints, there are those who have been able, in waking moments on this earth, to remember the end of the dream, even as the beasts threaten from the corners. Like Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch girl whose family hid Jews and people with disabilities from the Nazis during the Second World War. When she and her family were sent to a concentration camp, they lived by the motto, "There is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still." Or like Teresa of Lisieux, a 19th century nun who focused her entire life on small acts of mercy. She wrote, "To the right and to the left, I throw to my little birds the good grain that God places in my hands, and then I just let things take their course. I busy myself with it no more. Sometimes it's just as though I had thrown nothing. At other times it does some good. But God tells me, give, give always, without being concerned with the results." She's so focused on these works of mercy that in her autobiography, she basically forgets to tell us that she's dying of tuberculosis at the age of 23. Or I think of the saints in Ukraine who at the start of the war collaborated to make a video of many of them reading of the psalm, the 31st psalm. You can find this on YouTube if you Google Ukraine, if you enter in the search terms Ukraine, Psalm 31. People reading the word on their phones and with flashlights from shelters and cellars and around tables where relief work is happening. Or maybe you know a saint closer to home whose name is not known to me, who does not have a YouTube video, but who, by their patience and the strength of their kindness, taught you a way of life that seems to come straight from God. Saints are our teachers. They teach us how to hope. They teach us how to love. They teach us how to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and how to live as the worldly kingdoms do not have the last word. At the end, they teach us how to die. In a few minutes, we will baptize Annalie May. She is too young at the moment to tell us what dreams she has in the night. But by her baptism, she's being initiated into the dream of God and into the life of God's reign. She's loved. She is a child of God. She has been made to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with her Lord. But as she grows, no doubt the powers of this world will try to convince her that their dream for her is stronger. The beast will threaten from the four corners of her life to make her afraid that she is not enough, afraid that she will not measure up, and that she must join them in their quest for power and fear. But the water in the Word of God is stronger. Baptism's promise is stronger. The kingdom belongs to God, and the holy ones will inherit it. It will take us all to help her as she grows to remember this, and to help her dream dreams for her life worthy of the goodness and the hope that is being offered her in the grace of baptism today. She will need teachers who will remember that the dream ends well. A community of baptized and forgiven sinners who nevertheless have seen something of God. She'll need saints. We all do. Amen.